And now it's time for the Earth First. Update all the environmental news you can use. I'm Uncle Dennis in the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz on Thursday, the 10th of September. Thank you for listening. Suggest that you have a pencil and paper handy so that you can write down names, addresses, telephone numbers, email addresses, web pages, all that kind of information that will help you take what you hear tonight and translate that into action. So let's get started with announcements. Right here in Santa Cruz, the Santa Cruz Wilderness Protection Summit is going to be next Thursday, September 17th, from 6:30 to 8:30. And darn, that's right in the middle of my show. I'm not going to be able to do that. It's going to take place at the Live Oak Grange, 1900 17th Avenue, right here in Santa Cruz. Please join the Santa Cruz Group of the Sierra Club and the Ventana Wilderness Alliance for a Wilderness Protection Summit. The good news is the Central Coast region of California is blessed with nearly 300,000 acres of public lands permanently protected as wilderness by the U.S. Congress. The challenge, unfortunately, the agency entrusted with the protection and management of these lands, the U.S. Forest Service, is chronically underfunded and understaffed. The U.S. Forest Service lacks the necessary resources to adequately protect our public lands. That's where organizations like the Sierra Club and the Ventana Wilderness Alliance are meeting the challenge with outreach programs and advocacy efforts to protect the wilderness character and biodiversity of this amazing region. And they aren't the only ones, but they're the folks that are having this benefit next Thursday. Come to this event and you'll learn what is wilderness, why is it important, why citizen stewardship and advocacy is important, how the Ventana Wilderness Alliance staff and volunteers coordinate and collaborate with the U.S. Forest Service on a variety of stewardship projects, and how you can get involved with the Sierra Club Outings Program. So please come to the event and meet up with like-minded wilder folk for a fun and enlightening evening. They ask that you arrive sustainably to this event by walking, bicycling, taking the bus, driving your electric vehicle, or carpooling. And once again, that's the Santa Cruz Wilderness Protection Summit is happening Thursday, September 17th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Live Oak Grange, 1900 17th Avenue, right here in Santa Cruz. And coming up in North Carolina, the 24th through the 27th of September is the Southeast United States Genetically Engineered Trees Action Camp. You've heard about this for a couple of weeks here on the Earth First Update. The Global Justice Ecology Project is having this action camp. Participation is free, but you need to sign up. globaljusticeecology.org/apply-action-camp is the place to go. Let me repeat that, and I will do it again at the end of the announcement. globaljusticeecology.org/apply-action-camp. And be sure to sign up because space is limited. The U.S. South is the ground zero for genetically engineered trees, and more than ever, we need to come together to save native forests and stop GE trees. The participants of the action camp will be given an overview of the current state of genetically engineered trees with a focus on the U.S. South, as well as training and organizing, direct action, blockades, our rights as protesters, how to use media and art in protests, as well as other critical topics. The goal of the training is for the immediate and direct use of skills and knowledge gained at the action camp in protests and organizing against genetically engineered trees. Once again, the camp is from the 24th through the 27th of September in North Carolina. To sign up for this free camp, globaljusticeecology.org/apply-action-camp. And coming up here in Santa Cruz on Thursday, October 1st, the movie Wrenched, how Edward Abbey lit the flame of environmental activists and gave the movement its soul. This is going to be a special screening fundraiser for the Ventana Wilderness Alliance at the Del Mar Theater at 7 p.m. Thursday, October 1st. Tickets are $20 in advance at brownpapertickets.com or $25 at the door. That address, that webpage for tickets is vwawrenched.com. www.brownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpaperticketsbrownpapertickets ventanawilderness.com. The event is hosted by the Ventana Wilderness Alliance, a local nonprofit dedicated to the conservation of public lands in the Big Sur backcountry. The program will celebrate the legacy of Edward Abbey and the Monkey Wrench Gang and will feature a live introduction by Ed's sister, local activist and educator Nancy Abbey, and what a wonderful person she is. Proceeds will benefit the critical wilderness stewardship and advocacy work of the Ventana Wilderness Alliance. Once again, the movie Wrenched at the Del Mar Theater, 7 p.m. Thursday, October 1st, $20 in advance at VWAWRENCHED, VWAWRENCHED.brownpapertickets.com. If you want more information, go to www.ventanawild.org. That's www.ventanawild.org. And voting is now open for the first annual People Land Truth Awards in this story from Intercontinental Cry. People Land Truth Awards is a new annual rewards program to recognize excellence in the field of investigative journalism. The voting is open until October 1st, and the public is encouraged to offer some thanks of their own by voting for their favorite articles in the PLTA Awards. To take part in the awards, go to intercontinentalcry.org/PLT awards. Once again, intercontinentalcry.org/PLT awards, and get your vote in there. And Intercontinental Cry is a news agency for Native peoples the world around. Here's the Buffalo Field Campaign's update from the field for this week. Stand with the Buffalo. Frontlines volunteers are needed for the coming field season. Buffalo Field Campaign has seasonal openings for field volunteers. We have opportunities in every season, but are in greatest need of folks during our field season, which runs from November through May. This is the time of year when wild bison are migrating into Montana and facing death and harassment. Any buffalo within Montana's borders is in danger of being shot on sight, hazed, or captured and shipped to the slaughterhouse. All Buffalo Field Campaign volunteers are provided with room, board, gear, and training in exchange for staffing our field patrols. They cater to most any dietary need, if you need to eat something, that is. They're located in a warm log cabin by beautiful Hebgen Lake, just a few miles outside of West Yellowstone, Montana. And they also run a camp north of Yellowstone in the Gardner Basin. Visit the website, www.buffalofieldcampaign.org, and make your plans. And you should also note that in addition to every dietary need that they have a dry camp. That is, you cannot drink alcohol at the camp. See you on the front lines. Just wanted you to know that. Special thanks to everyone who helped with Woodcut Week as I prepare to leave camp for the West Coast Roadshow. The biggest chore is to get the Buffalo Field Campaign headquarters ready for winter. Getting the firewood to all of our cabins, cutting, stacking, and covering the wood is the most work. Thanks to the following people, this chore was accomplished last week with our annual Woodcut Week. First, a man who has been coming for the last 5 years all the way from Williams, Oregon, is Brian. Next, coming from Seattle, Washington, where Scott and Stephanie, Ariana and Bjorn lent some unexpected helping hands. Don and Sam, two of our volunteers who never stopped giving, helped a great deal. Also, a special thanks to Eric and Natalie for cooking delicious meals for the entire Woodcut crew. The only sad part was that our 12-year-old trusty chainsaw has done its last work for us. It's a tool we can't live without, and we're asking for help to replace it with a new one, costing $700. Any donation to help get us a new chainsaw or to donate a chainsaw would be greatly appreciated by the Buffalo Field Campaign. If you're going to donate a chainsaw, please call the Buffalo Field Campaign and make sure it's the one they want. You know how it is with a guy and his chainsaw. It's got to be the right one. And finally, a thanks to all of our supporters who gave us the honor to stand with the Buffalo. Awesome events are coming for the Buffalo Field Campaign's West Coast Roadshow. They will be on the road from September 12th through October 10th, building awareness about the needs of our native bison through presentations and concerts in many West Coast communities. Please check out the schedule at the website. Mike Mees will be joined by the incredible musicians and eco-warriors Good Shield Aguilar and Mignon Jelly. Join this amazing trio for music and stories from the front lines. Also, these wonderful Buffalo warriors will inspire you to take action on behalf of America's last wild migratory buffalo. This year, we're honored to be doing some events with Pearl Jam and John Trudell, and there may be a few more surprises along the way, so please join us in town near you. Check the online schedule and download posters so that you can distribute them in your community. That is www.buffalofieldcampaign.org. If you have a donation of cash, please send it to Buffalo Field Campaign, P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758. Once again, that address, buffalofieldcampaign.org, or Buffalo Field Campaign, P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758. Their phone number for any questions and to make sure you have the right chainsaw to donate is 406-646-0070. That's 406-646-0070. And ask for Mike. Tell him Dennis sent you. And once again, that webpage, www.buffalofieldcampaign.org. The Buffalo Field Campaign is the only group working in the field every day in defense of the last wild buffalo in the United States. And going across to the East Bay, here in Central California, Caltrans Niles Canyon Projects Update. And this story from the Alameda Creek Alliance. Caltrans gave us an update on September 3rd about their revised plans for the highway projects in Niles Canyon. Their future plans involve a short-term safety project, a medium-term safety project, the Alameda Creek Bridge Replacement Project, and mitigation for the trees cut in the lower Niles Canyon in 2011. Caltrans will begin to implement their short-term safety project. No construction or highway work is involved next summer. The project will consist of visual measures such as striping and bicycle route delineation on the existing pavement. Because of our extensive public comments, Caltrans has revised the Alameda Creek Bridge Replacement Project and will have to recirculate a new draft environmental impact report very shortly. Caltrans will hold a public hearing on the revised bridge replacement project in late 2015. Completion of the environmental review is anticipated next year, with the start of construction for late 2017. We still have major concerns about the impacts of the project. Caltrans has not yet revealed if they will evaluate an alternative that keeps the current bridge configuration and does not involve increasing the engineered driving speed, thus avoiding many of the tree cutting and retaining wall impacts. Stay tuned, and we will keep you updated about the revisions to the project and whether or not they are adequate. Caltrans plans to reinitiate the medium-term safety project this fall with a public scoping meeting sometime late in September. This project will involve limited highway widening, guardrail replacement, traffic signals, warning systems, and rock slope protection. This project could have significant impacts due to tree cutting, construction of retaining walls, and placement of rock cage slope protections. Caltrans anticipates a draft environmental impact report for this project early in 2016 and completion of environmental review by late summer of next year and construction planned for late 2017. Caltrans now states they have abandoned the concept of widening the road throughout the canyon for now. They will monitor the effects of their short-term and medium-term safety projects to see if further measures are warranted. But Caltrans is trying to get out of its obligations to mitigate for the 143 trees it cut during the 2011 Lower Niles Canyon, stating the trees are recovering, even though they have done no monitoring and have no evidence of recovery. Caltrans is unable to mitigate for the mature sycamore trees they cut down along lower Stony Brook Creek. Caltrans has had difficulty finding suitable locations and projects that regulatory agencies will accept as mitigation for the loss of 143 riparian trees. The agency is instead attempting to offer a fish passage project as mitigation for the tree cutting. Caltrans has proposed removing the lower Stony Brook Creek box culvert under Highway 84 at Palomares Road and replacing it with a free-span road bridge. This is not a suitable mitigation for many reasons. It is a worthy project, however, but one Caltrans first proposed in 2002 and is already committed to pursuing as part of the first Niles Canyon project. Caltrans is required under state law to fix this culvert for fish passage and will soon have the same requirement under the Federal Endangered Species Act when steelhead trout have access to Niles Canyon. For this reason, the fish passage project is not suitable mitigation for the removal of 143 native trees. We will be working with Caltrans and other agencies to try and locate suitable mitigation projects and locations in Niles Canyon and Stony Brook Creek. Caltrans will provide updated descriptions and timelines for the Niles Canyon project soon on their web at www.dot.ca.gov/DIST4, which is short for District 4, /Niles Canyon, NilesCanyon. Once again, that webpage, www.dot.ca.gov/DIST4/Niles Canyon. And you can find out more about the Alameda Creek Alliance at their webpage, www.alamedacreek.org. And that webpage is alamedacreek.org. And Greenland has fined Greenpeace for drilling rig stunts in this story by Sabina Zawidzki, with editing by Tom Hennigan of World Environment News Thomson Reuters. A Greenland court on Monday fined Greenpeace over $26,000 for disrupting oil drilling off the island's coast, the latest chapter in the environmental group's fight to stop the industrial development in the Arctic. Greenpeace activists boarded or tried to board an exploration rig belonging to Cairn Energy three times in 2011. The Edinburgh-based company drilled five prospective wells that year but found no commercial quantities of hydrocarbons. Greenpeace's campaigns in the Arctic have run into trouble with authorities several times in recent years. In April, campaigners boarded a Royal Dutch Shell drilling rig preparing to head for the Arctic. The activists believe an oil spill would damage the Arctic environment. Oil companies argue they have extremely detailed mitigation plans should anything go wrong on their drilling rigs. And to that I say, total BS. Many Greenlanders disapprove of Greenpeace because of its campaigns against seal and whale watching, two activities key in the economy and cultural traditions of the 56,000-strong nation. Autonomous within the Kingdom of Denmark, Greenland became financially independent if oil were discovered, and many Greenlanders support drilling there. Six people involved in illegal marijuana cultivation have been arrested. A multi-agency drug raid has resulted in six arrests in a sweeping action taken to reduce illegal marijuana cultivation and the resulting environmental damage in California. Officers from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and several allied agencies made the arrest during a wide-ranging raid on September 4th. The suspects were taken into custody and will be charged with multiple violations, including the cultivation of marijuana, possession of marijuana for sale, maintaining a place for the sale of narcotics, federal conspiracy, grand theft of water, pollution of state waters, litter near state waters, and unlawful water diversion. Arrested were Pedro P. Tejada of Galt, aged 50, Jose Luis Aguilar of Elk Grove, aged 54, Juan Garcia Baltazar Lopez of Sacramento, aged 26, Jorge Ornelius Garcia of Lodi, aged 47, Arnulfo Castillo Torres of Lodi, aged 53, and Antonio Aviles Carrillo of Delco, Idaho, aged 23. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife and its partners have been gathering information on the suspects for months. They are suspecting of having supplied a number of marijuana grows previously raided by CDFW wildlife officers. Diligent reconnaissance and investigative work by our officers laid the groundwork for a successful operation, said CDFW Assistant Chief Brian Naslund. Our department will continue to strive to protect the natural resources of our state by aggressively pursuing marijuana cultivators who steal water during an unprecedented drought, damage the environment, and imperil wildlife. Over the past several years, officers from various state and federal agencies have identified four large marijuana grow sites within San Joaquin, Sacramento, and Contra Costa counties that have been linked to an unknown drug trafficking organization. Two sites were located in the White Slough Wildlife Area in San Joaquin County. Two others were located west of Interstate 5 between Twin Cities and Dyerson Roads in Sacramento County. A fifth site was located on Webb Tract Island in Contra Costa County. Wildlife officers, with the assistance from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and the California Highway Patrol, the El Dorado Sheriff's Department, the San Joaquin County Sheriff's Department, and the Elk Grove Police Department, made the arrests at residences and businesses in various locations in Sacramento, Lodi, Galt, and Elk Grove. Officers also confiscated five vehicles, a boat and trailer, and recovered a stolen firearm. California Department of Fish and Wildlife is heavily involved in operations to rid California of illegal marijuana grows, which are becoming an increasing problem in the state as the historic drought wears on. Marijuana growers steal substantial amounts of water, exacerbating severe drought conditions. Marijuana plants use 6 to 8 gallons of water per plant per day and are a direct hazard to wildlife that eat the plants or drink from contaminated water stores. Wildlife is also frequently poached at the grow sites. Law enforcement officials are also concerned that people walking or hiking nearby could be in danger if they accidentally came across a marijuana cultivation site, as illicit growers usually carry weapons. CalTIP, the California's Turn-In Poachers and Polluters, is a confidential secret witness program that encourages the public to provide the California Department of Fish and Wildlife with factual information leading to the arrest of poachers and polluters. If you witness a poaching or polluting incident or any fish and wildlife violation or have information about such violations, please call 1-888-334-CALTIP. That's 1-888-334-2258, any time of the day, any time of the week. If you need more information, go to www.wildlife.ca.gov. That webpage is wildlife.ca.gov. And here's some biodiversity news. A key court win in a fight against a huge Nevada water grab. The Nevada Supreme Court has dealt a significant defeat to the Southern Nevada Water Authority and its plan to take 27 billion gallons of groundwater a year from public lands in central Nevada. If allowed, the project would dry up or harm more than 5,500 acres of meadows, more than 200 springs, 33 miles of trout streams, and 130,600 acres of sagebrush habitat for sagegrouse, mule deer, elk, and pronghorn sheep. As water tables would plunge by 200 feet. The court rejected an appeal by the Water Authority and the state engineer to reject a December 2013 lower state court's order. The earlier decision required proof that the Water Authority's proposed groundwater mining and export operation will be sustainable and won't cause major harm to the environment and existing water rights holders such as tribes, ranchers, farmers, and rural communities. As a member of the Great Basin Water Network, the Center for Biological Diversity was part of the suit and was represented by Simon Herskovitz of Advocates for Community and Environment. And international help is sought for Mexico's vanishing porpoise. The Center for Biological Diversity and their allies petitioned the World Heritage Committee to designate more than 6,900 square miles of ocean and islands in northern Mexico as in danger because of the urgent threat of extinction for a rare porpoise and fish in the northern Gulf of California. A committee designated Mexico's islands and protected areas of the Gulf of California as a World Heritage Area in 2005. But two of the site's most renowned species, the tiny vaquita porpoise and a massive fish called the totoaba, face extinction as a result of fishing activities. An endangered designation will focus international attention on these species' plight and may garner much-needed funds for their habitat's conservation. The vaquita is the world's smallest porpoise and exists only in the Gulf of California. It has suffered a dramatic and alarming decline. Fewer than 100 vaquita remain in the wild, and without help, this modest marine mammal could be extinct in 2 more years. And a $15,000 reward has been sought for the killer of a Florida panther. The Center for Biological Diversity is contributing $15,000 towards an award reward for whoever shot and killed an endangered Florida panther. A motorist found the dead panther on March 22nd, and state wildlife officials later determined it had died from a gunshot wound. Since 2014, 51 Florida panthers have been found dead out of a population of fewer than 180. And most of those deaths have been human-caused, typically when a vehicle strikes. Harming a Florida panther is punishable by up to a year in prison and a $100,000 fine. The Center for Biological Diversity has teamed up with the Humane Society of the United States and the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust in putting up a $10,000 reward leading to the arrest and conviction in the latest death. That pledge, along with a $5,000 reward offered by state and federal agencies, pushes the total to $15,000. And that's all the time we have for news. If you need more biological diversity news, go to www.biologicaldiversity.org. If you want to hear a rebroadcast of this Earth First Update, tune in to Free Radio Santa Cruz tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock during our Environment Friday shows. Or if you live in Moscow, Idaho area, you can tune to 90.3 KRFP, Radio Free Moscow, at 9:30 p.m. on Monday nights. Or you can go online to www.radio4all.net. That's radio4all.net, where you can listen online, or you can download this or previous editions of the Earth First Update. And I'd like to say that Free Radio Santa Cruz is desperately looking for a studio. Next week's broadcast will be the last one from our current studio, and we don't have a new place to go. So if you could possibly let us know at www.freakradio.org where our new studio would be, we're offering a $500 reward. The Earth First Update is a production of Earth First Radio and is produced in the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz. I want to thank you for listening, and do remember that the Earth First Update presents all the environmental news you can use. And thank you for listening. Do tune in next Thursday evening for another Earth First Update.